Luke chapter 11,
with every new year comes that kind of that evaluation time and just kind of that, you know, Lord, what do you want to do in my life in this upcoming year? And for me, one of the things that, again, has just been kind of stirring in me personally, and I think also for our church, something that I really desire for my life, but I also desire for the life of our church, is that we would just really grow, that I would really grow, that we would really grow in our prayer life, in prayer. Prayer, and it's difficult because if you want to tackle the topic of prayer, I mean, we could do like a 32-year series to cover everything in the Bible. I mean, obviously, it's a broad, broad topic. I don't know what your response is to that when I say we want to talk about prayer. Some people are like, yes, amen. Others are like, oh, no, because we kind of feel like, oh, no, he's probably going to preach, and I'm going to find out I don't pray enough. Well, just take it easy. Take a breath. You don't pray enough, okay? And I don't either. That's not where we're necessarily going with this. And in fact, kind of the opposite of when I talk about prayer, when we bring about prayer, there can be that kind of that wrong knee-jerk reaction of like guilt or whatever. That's not the goal tonight. Obviously not going to tackle the whole topic, but really what I want to say is this. It's hard in a two-minute introduction to state how important prayer is to a believer. Prayer is like the very core of who we are as Christians, isn't it? I mean, it's like the absolute way we approach life. And as you're a new believer, prayer is kind of weird. And if you've been a believer for a long time, still prayer is a little weird, but you've grown it a little bit. But it's our life link to God. It's how we communicate with God. It's how we're really to approach life. I just grabbed three quick verses just to kind of rattle the cage a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to believers in a shotgun blast, pray without ceasing. And that's a quick verse and easy to quote, but think about that. Never stop praying. You know, like that's kind of the way that we operate as Christians. We're to approach life in every angle, every day through prayer. And that's a change from the way we used to live as non-believers, right? Another great verse is in Philippians 4:6 where it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplications and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that transcends understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But the point of that is, in this life, I don't know about you, any given day, any given thing in any given day will cause me to worry. And yet God says, hey, don't worry about anything and pray about everything. Another verse that I love is in James chapter 5, and I'm paraphrasing these, but in James 5 where it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. I memorized it in the King James, so that's the only way I can quote it. But the effectual, fervent prayer does stuff, is what it means. And it gives the example of Elijah. And we think, oh, I could never be a man like Elijah. Well, Elijah, the Bible says, was a guy of like passions, like you and me. In other words, he was just a guy that prayed, and God did stuff. And all that to say is that prayer is at the very core of who we are. It's really supposed to be what kind of defines us as Christians. Like everything that we do, everything that how we operate should really be flowing out of our time in prayer with the Lord. And quite honestly, one I found this quote. When sometimes you come across quotes, you're just like, dang, that's good. This is by Spurgeon, go figure. But he said, little something he said probably just in passing. He said, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. Yeah, I just kind of think those kind of things up too in my quiet time. Prayer is the slender nerve, the tiny nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. The idea being that we can say little prayers in the hand of God Almighty will move. It's just a mysterious thing. It's just a crazy thing. There's so many aspects to prayer. There's so many different kinds of prayer. There's so many things about prayer. But really the goal for tonight is to encourage, twofold. One, to just encourage us in our prayer life. I want to give you an encouraging word, I hope, for your prayer life in this upcoming year. And secondly, hopefully, if we have some time, we'll just spend some time in prayer. We do a lot of teaching about prayer. We don't pray a lot. In fact, this is one of the things that kind of is an observation about me, observation about the church maybe at large, especially in the United States, is that honestly, we don't pray a lot. We don't pray a lot. We kind of replace prayer, and I'm not saying those guys out there, I'm including myself in this, and again, this is not for condemnation, it's just kind of an honest evaluation, is that what we do is we replace prayer with busyness. We replace prayer with strategizing. There's a time to be busy and there's a time to strategize. We replace prayer with good ideas. We don't do really well at waiting on the Lord and being moved into our busyness as a result of prayer. Does that make sense? Because it's hard. It's hard to sit still. It's hard to hear the voice of the Lord. It's hard to do this. So hopefully we'll look at this tonight and just kind of look at it as a real simple encouragement to prayer. In fact, if I had to name my sermon, I'm not a big sermon namer, I would name it this: pray simply and simply pray. Pray simply and simply pray. And so I'm taking the text from Luke chapter 11. And it basically breaks into three chunks. If you're a note taker, we'll do this pretty quick. We're going to look at number one, the request, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1, and point 1 is going to be the request. Just a couple little observations about that. Then we'll look at the second section, verses 2 through 4, which is what I have labeled as pray simply, or the Lord's Prayer. And then thirdly, we'll look at simply pray. We're going to look at two little proverbs that Jesus talks about to encourage us in confident, persistent prayer. So we'll look at that. But let's look at the request. Verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." This is interesting. First thing to note, notice this. It says Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he was finished. The first thing I notice here is that prayer was Jesus's pattern of life. It really was. I think the disciples noticed that prayer was the pattern of Jesus's life. And what it says here is that he was in a certain place and he had finished up praying. I think Mark chapter 1, which we studied several weeks ago, it does a great job of giving us a little snapshot into the private life of Jesus, coming off an extremely busy day, heading into an extremely busy day, pressures of life coming down on him, literally people seeking him out, not giving him a moment's rest. And we were told that he got up early in the morning before the sun came up. He found a desolate place. He found a quiet time and a quiet place. And he got away and he just spent time with his Father. Everything Jesus did was out of prayer. We see in John chapter 5, Jesus says, "I don't do anything of myself." He just was following in prayer. We see him praying on the mountain. We see him praying publicly. We see him praying privately. We see exhortations to prayer, teachings about prayer. And I think that the disciples really noticed that what really made Jesus tick, and that's probably a horrible way of putting it, was that everything Jesus did kind of stemmed from prayer. Prayer was the pattern of Jesus's life. What's interesting to me, though, is that they had to ask Jesus for a prayer lesson. Jesus gets done praying, and they're like, "Jesus, could you teach us to pray? Like John taught his disciples to pray?" Now, this is interesting to me. One, kind of piggybacking on my last point, is that you never see the disciples asking for a hermeneutics class, a homiletics class. Like, how to preach, how to teach. Lord, could you give us a miracles class? None of that. We never see the disciples asking for that. Well, one class, or whatever, if you want to put it in those terms, that we see the disciples asking was, "Jesus, will you teach us to pray?" They saw Jesus's life, everything coming out of prayer, and they were basically like, "Lord, teach us to do that, like John taught his disciples. We want to learn how to pray." But what's funny to me in an interesting way is that they had to ask Jesus for a private prayer lesson. Here's what I mean by that. They'd been hanging with Jesus for quite a while at this time. They'd been with Jesus. John the Baptist, his disciples, man, when he had those guys around, he was no doubt saying, "We're going to pray, and this is how you pray." And he taught his disciples specifically how to pray. John was like hardcore, so I'm guessing their prayer times were hardcore. But anyways, like, I'm sure John was all about it. Evidently, they saw Jesus pray. They heard Jesus pray. In fact, publicly, they've heard a few teachings about prayer, but there was never a time, evidently, where Jesus grabbed the disciples and said, okay, guys, to be a disciple, number one thing is you got to learn how to pray. We're going to do a prayer class. Evidently, he never did that. Why? I have no idea. I tend to think maybe he was teaching them by example. I wonder if maybe he was asking for them or waiting for them to ask. I don't know what the reason is, but whatever it was, they come to him and they ask, Jesus, will you teach us to pray? And my third little observation about this is Jesus was more than happy to teach them to pray. And that seems like a no-duh, kind of a stupid observation, but not really. Like let me approach it from a different way. He didn't chide them for asking to pray. Are you kidding me? You've been following me this long and you still don't know how to pray? What is the matter? Have you not seen what I've done? I haven't seen you get up early one time this week, Peter. Jesus did not get on them. He was so mellow about the whole thing. Oh, you guys want to learn how to pray? Okay. He was more than happy to teach them to pray. And then, so let's look at this prayer. And my goal tonight is not to dissect once more what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's a fantastic prayer. It's great. But I want to kind of just kind of attack it from a different angle. This is what he said to him. He says, all right. They said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. And the Lord said to them, okay, when you pray, say this. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone else who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Boom, done. There it is. Bam. It's so short. Now, here's the deal. I wonder if they were like, dude, Jesus is going to teach us how to pray. This is the good stuff. This is the deep, mystical knowledge. We have Jesus Christ all to ourselves, and we are getting a prayer lesson. Lay it on me, Jesus. And you know, I wonder if their minds were blown. Because if they're like, if John was so hardcore and radical when he taught his people to pray, I wonder what Jesus' prayer class is going to be like. And what he gives them is a shortened version of his original teaching on prayer on the Sermon on the Mount. He dumbs it down for them almost. He shortens it. You can't escape the brevity and the simplicity of what he was presenting to them. Now I'm not saying that it's simple in the sense that it's not deep or whatever. But what I'm saying is it's just short and to the point and wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully simple. Amen? Now, I believe that what we call the Lord's Prayer is not necessarily meant to be verbatim. If you pray it verbatim, man, I think the Lord obviously honors that. And we do from time to time. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We'll say it together. It's a great way to pray. But I believe that as he repeated almost verbatim the exact prayer that he taught in Matthew chapter 6, really most people believe that what he gave them was kind of a pattern for prayer. Kind of a pattern for prayer. And it's awesome. And again, I don't want to dissect it too deeply tonight, but notice this. And you could, trust me, spend a lot of time looking at this glorious prayer. But notice what it does. He says, Father. Now, some manuscripts have Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. We know that's how we taught it in Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven. Think about that contrast. Our Father. That's a mind blower to the Jews, by the way. To call God Father. I'm in Deuteronomy in my quiet time. And I just got done reading where God comes down on Mount Sinai and like gives them the law and like speaks to the people. And the people literally are shaking like, Moses, if we hear any more from God, we're going to die. Why don't you go talk to him? And whatever he says, we'll do it. Why? Because their experience with God was holiness, unapproachability, fire of God Almighty. And that's a good thing to have that fear of the Lord. And the Jews have a ridiculously wonderful fear of God. When Jesus comes on the scene and says, here's how you pray. You say, Father, Abba, literally, Papa, who's in heaven. I told you I wasn't going to get into this. Now I really am. But trip out on that. The God, the omniscient, omnipotent God, creator of the universe, it allows us through Christ to call him Papa. That's an amazing thing. And in that, I think we see an acknowledgement of who God is and praise for who he is. So there's prayers of acknowledgement and praise. Then he says, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Now, again, we know more to that from Matthew 6. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But that prayer, your kingdom come. The idea of that is, when you talk about the kingdom of God, keep in mind there's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And once you became a Christian, you were born again. And Colossians 1:13 says you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen? And the kingdom of God is one of those things where it's right now, but it's not yet. The kingdom of God is right now, because the kingdom of God is whoever has Jesus as their king, ruling and reigning over their lives. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus, you're part of the kingdom of God. He's your king. You're submitted to him. Yet, it's not yet, because his kingdom is ultimately coming to earth physically. Amen? So it's something we're experiencing now, but we will ultimately experience later. But when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, there's a kind of that dual prayer. What are we praying? Lord, in my life, may your will be done. Don't just say he's the king, make him the king. Submit to him, bow your knee. It's a prayer of submission. It's also a prayer of intercession, because what are we praying? Lord, in this world, may your will be done. It's God's will that none should perish but have everlasting life. You can pray for people. You can pray for situations that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? It's a prayer of submission and intercession. And then he says, and give us today our daily bread. Give us the bread we need today. Bread is synonymous in the Bible with meat, or if you would, provision. And he says, Lord, give us what we need today. So this Lord's Prayer contains not only prayers of acknowledgement and praise and submission and intercession, but of provision. It's okay to pray for your provision. Sometimes you meet people and they're like, I never pray for myself. And they sound so holy when they say that. And I'm like, you're an idiot, because Jesus taught us to. I don't tell them they're an idiot. I just think it. And then I repent for thinking it. But no, I don't think that. I'm just kidding. It's okay to pray. You should pray. Now, but the problem is have you ever had prayer times where your entire prayer time is dominated by what you need, your felt need at that given time, and there can be nothing else that you pray about? And that happens from time to time. But ultimately, I think it's cool that prayers of praise and acknowledgement and intercession kind of precede our own provision. It's okay to, and we should pray for ourselves and what we need and what others need, but it shouldn't dominate. Necessarily. I always kind of get that one at the top, and God understands. Anyways, and then he says, and forgive us of our sins, and as for we also forgive everyone who's indebted to us. I just love that prayer of just confession. God, forgive. That's, by the way, that is a great thing to incorporate into your prayer life. You know, we talk about repentance, and sometimes people think repentance is like a one-time gig. Dude, repentance is an everyday event in my life, and it's a great thing. Because what you can do is when you screw up, anybody ever sin, even after you're a believer? Yeah, three of us, four of us. The rest of you guys probably shouldn't be coming to this church. No, just kidding. We all fail. We all sin still. And every day there's prayers of, Lord, forgive me. What does it say in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. So it's praying that prayer of forgiveness and just saying, Lord, forgive me for what I've done, confession. But I love the fact that he adds in there, for we also forgive those who've sinned against us, that we're indebted to, people that are indebted to us, rather. I'm really good at praying for my forgiveness. And I'm pretty sure God should understand and be benevolent with me. After all, he knows me and he knows my tendencies and he should forgive me, and I plead the blood of Jesus over me, and that's all great. But that guy's a jerk, Lord. It's so good. We have to remember the same blood that washed away our sin is the same blood that washed away the sin of the people that have sinned against us. And we cannot say we love Jesus and enjoy relationship with him and hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness. And let me just say something about that real quick, by the way. We don't forgive people because we're such nice people that we'll find it in our, people say, I can't find it in my heart to forgive. If you're looking within your own heart to be a big enough person to forgive, we forgive out of obedience, and we let that emotion come later. And what we're doing when we forgive people is we're not saying, well, that's okay. We're not condoning anything that people have done. What we're doing is acknowledging that the blood of Jesus was shed for that sin. And God Almighty is not holding that sin. And it is a sin. We don't have to pretend it's not. But it's been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And if God's not holding on to that, how can I hold on to that? Amen? I love Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. What was the basis of God forgiving us of our sins? Jesus. What is the basis for us forgiving other people of their sins? Jesus. Little, real practical way to take communion. Celebrate your forgiveness. Confess sin. Know you're forgiven. Enjoy that. But also, from time to time, if need be, make sure that you are forgiving others and realizing that the blood that was shed for them as well. Amen? Amen? Okay, so it's really important that Jesus built it into this prayer even. And then lastly, it's a prayer of protection. So we have prayers of acknowledgement and praise and submission, intercession, provision, confession. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation. Don't lead me into temptation. Lord, protect me. Man, what's the old saying? Know thyself. And you have areas of temptation. I have areas of temptation. And it is so good to just be proactive in the morning when you're praying and saying, Lord, you know the areas that I'm weak in, and protect me today. Help me to walk with you and protect me from those temptations. Amen. So just a great prayer. But what I want to get at is that I can't get away from the fact that Jesus gave them such a simple and wonderful prayer that has all these wonderful elements to it. But here's what's not included. He doesn't say, but you have to do this 3 times a day. Now, praying 3 times a day is great if that's what you do. He doesn't give a time limit like, now, your prayers are only valid if you do it for 7 hours a week. Or if you have, you know, again, please hear what I'm saying. I am not against making a prayer time that is a designated prayer time. I have a designated prayer time. I'm not always perfect at hitting it. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray at length. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray intensely. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray in all those wonderful ways that we encourage each other to pray. We should. But what I'm getting at this morning is that Jesus was like, did I say this morning? Yeah, sorry about that. You guys are like holding back. You're so kind. If it was a guest speaker, you'd have been like, no, it is not morning. It is night. You know, but you guys are kind to me. Where was I? Oh, yeah. What I appreciate about this is that Jesus was like, you guys just want to learn how to pray? Listen, I think Jesus understood, let me put it this way. I think Jesus didn't expect them to have it all together and know how to pray. And the very fact that they're saying, Lord, will you teach us? I think that blessed him. I think that humility blessed him. And he's like, of course I'm going to teach you to pray. Get your notepad out. I've got 17 points that you need to get down. And if you're not, no, he's like, he gives them just this simple, wonderful prayer. He says, go for it. Amen? And this is my big encouragement for you guys tonight in your prayer life. Because as soon as I mention prayer, some of you guys are like, oh, no. Here's the thing I want to encourage you in. Just if you stink at prayer, God knows already. And it's okay. You got to learn how to pray. You really do. Just like you got to learn how to communicate with your wife, you got to learn how to communicate with your husband, and you have to learn how to communicate. You're communicating with the God of the universe, and he doesn't expect you the moment that you're saved to speak in old English and pray for 7 hours. Oh, Lord, almighty God of heaven and earth. You know, if you pray like that, that's cool. But you know what I mean? Take the pressure off a little bit. There's a great book. It's a classic. I didn't see any out on the bookshelf, but what I'm going to do is order some and just sell them. We sell everything very discounted anyway, but we're going to try to just sell it at cost. It's called Jeff? With Christ in the School of Prayer by Andrew Murray. Anybody read that? It's a classic book on prayer. But what I love about that is he does this whole chapter on this idea of saying, teach us to pray. Just that humble admission that you don't know how to pray. That's one of the greatest prayers you can pray. Lord, I don't know how to pray. Teach me to pray. And as he puts it, enroll in the class and just say, Lord, will you teach me? And guess what Jesus will do? He will be happy to teach you to pray. Amen? And here you already have a great start. Here's your New Year's resolution right here. You want to learn how to pray? Man, start with the 18-second prayer that's right there in front of you. And then as you pray that and you just want to add a little bit more praise and worship, do it. And a little bit more submission, do it. A little more intercession, do it. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you guys get it. I think what stands out and probably stood out to these guys a lot was the simplicity and the brevity And Jesus was like, yeah, here you go. But then he gives two proverbs real quickly. And the point of these proverbs, I think, are real simple. They're to give these guys encouragement in their brand new adventure of learning how to pray, to be persistent in their prayer and confident in their prayer. Persistent in their prayer and confident in their prayer. Let's read it. Check it out. Verse 5. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot get out of bed and give you anything. Now, that needs a little explanation. In that day, first of all, if you had an unexpected guest, I mean, hospitality is everything to the Jewish culture, and you would want something to give to them, and you're like, if the guy came to your house, you had nothing to give him, and you went to your neighbor's house, and it's midnight, and you're like, I need 3 loaves of bread. And he's like, what? Get out of here. I mean, we would probably do the same thing, but it's even more so because they lived in a one-room house, and sometimes animals in there with them. They would have all the kids down. Parents, you know the glory of when all your kids are asleep when they're young? It's like, you don't let frogs make noise outside. Shut up, my kids are asleep. Crying out loud in the night. Don't anybody wake them up, you know? Just like that peace. It's like everything's still, everybody's quiet, we're all in bed. And they're like, hey, I need, and you're like, keep it down, would you? And he says, but look, I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he's your friend, yet because of his impotence or persistence, he will rise up and give him whatever he needs. He says, look, what's going to happen is if that happened to you and the guy just keeps, if you tell him to go away and he doesn't go away and he keeps knocking, what are you going to do? You're going to get up and you're giving him his bread and you're going to shove it in his throat and kick him in the rear on his way out. He said, look, that friend's not going to give you the bread because he's just such a great friend. You're bugging him. He says, the word impudence there is shamelessness and audacity and persistence. That's the idea. Now, here's the deal. Don't take away from this that when we pray, we're bugging God and changing his mind. Some people think that's what prayer. Guys, this is a comparison by way of contrast. The idea is you're not bugging God and you're not changing his mind on anything. He goes on to say, and I tell you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, it will be opened. Does that make sense? Don't get the idea that we're bugging God. God, I hate to bug you again. He's like, will you just go away? Okay, fine, you can have the new car, you know, or something like that. We're not bugging God, and we're not changing God's mind. Well, then why does he want me to persist? Why does he want me to come? Because listen, oftentimes we need to have our minds changed. Oftentimes when we persist in prayer, we're not sure we're praying correctly. And the more we spend time in prayer, the more we spend time with him, he is faithful to give us what we need. Amen? By the way, I'm not trying to answer the question, the age-old question of why does God want us to persist in prayer? Why doesn't he just do what we asked the first time? I think part of that is because we don't always ask the right way or for the right stuff the first time. But I don't pretend to know why God wants us to persist. It might have something to do with the fact that he likes us and enjoys spending time with us. It might have something to do with character building. I don't know. Those things are a mystery to me at times. But what Jesus was telling these guys is, hey, it's not the same as the story I told you. It's a contrast to the story I told you. You're not bugging God. You're not going to change God's mind. He enjoys you coming to him. He wants you to come to him. And really, he's going to change you, and he's going to end up giving you what you need. Check this out. He says, what father, he gives you kind of another example. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Some of you guys might actually do that. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. If then, and this is one of my favorite verses. If you then, who are evil, I love that, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I love that. He's like, think it through, guys. If your kids came to you and were like, Daddy, can I just please have an egg? No! Here's a rock! Get out! You know, none of us are like that. And he's like, look, you guys are evil. You guys are sinful, evil people, and you know how to even give a good gift to your kid. You know good things to give him. You know good things not to give him. That's what he's saying. He's like, look, don't you, how much, that's a great phrase, how much more, if we have discernment on what to give and not give our kids, how much more does God, the Father of all creation, knows everything, have discernment on what's good to give us and not good to give us? Right? Because sometimes, like, for example, obviously we're not going to give kids like a scorpion for a fish or the whole egg rock thing, whatever. But what if it's something different? Like, Dad, can I just have a bowl of M&Ms for breakfast? And we'd be like, sure, kids. No. M&Ms are good. Don't get me wrong. But parents, what? We realize no parent in their right mind is going to feed their kids M&Ms for breakfast. You know what I'm saying? And like I think that's a stupid example. I know that that's true, but I think that's kind of how we come to God sometimes. We're like, oh, Lord, give us this and this. And he knows something we don't know. He's like, that's going to rot your teeth out. That's bad for you. I know it seems good. It's like we have to remember sometimes that we're like the little kid in the story. We don't always know what's best for us. We don't always know what's right for us. We've got it all figured out sometimes when we come to God. I need this to happen on this day at this time with this amount. And if you could do it this fast, that would be great, God. And God all along is like, no, I don't think so. That'll rot your teeth out. That's not going to be good for you. But here's the point is that when we do come and we ask, God will be faithful to give us what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. And what you take away from this, the very simple applications of these proverbs, these parables, are look, persistence. Pray with persistence. You're not bugging God. You're not going to change God's mind. But come and enjoy coming. Come a lot. Come all the time. Ask, seek, knock. About what? Everything. What's bugging you tonight? Don't answer that out loud. We'll study that in Ecclesiastes. There's a time for this and there's a time for that. But what? Just ask yourself in the secrecy of your own heart, what did you come in here with tonight? And it's just weighing on you. I've already prayed about it. Keep praying. I've already prayed for him. Keep praying. I've already prayed for her. Keep praying. My bills, keep praying. My health, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Amen? Persistence. And pray with confidence. Not a cockiness. And I'm not talking about, you know, there's still the remnant of the name it and claim it and the word of faith movement and all that. And if you just figure out what you want and believe strong enough that you can achieve that and speak it and claim it and all that garbly goop, that's ridiculous. And hopefully you figure that out by now. That's not faith. What faith is what God's word says and you believe it, but instead pray confidently in Jesus' name. And let me explain that. A lot of times people use Jesus' name as like, you know, rub the genie. Give me a Ferrari. In Jesus' name. Like he's now obligated to give you a Ferrari because you said that phrase. I say that tongue in cheek and I mean no disrespect to Jesus about that. The point is that the name of Jesus speaks of the person of Jesus, the character of Jesus. It means you're asking for something that Jesus would ask for. And Jesus is God. And so when you're asking in Jesus' name, it is not a formula to get what you want. It is a submission to what he wants. And it's got to be to his will and his nature and his character. So anytime I'm asking something in Jesus' name that really lines up with what he would ask and what he would want, then I can be confident that in his timing and in his way, he'll answer that prayer. But a lot of times, I don't know how to. Does that make sense? We just need to be tweaked a little bit in our thinking on prayer. But so all that to say, sorry I went roundabout on that, but my point was pray with confidence. A confidence, not necessarily that whatever you ask in your understanding will be accomplished, but ask in a confidence knowing that Jesus will give what's best. And I'm going to keep asking, and I'm asked for this, but if this is wrong, Lord, help me to ask for what's right. And we just pray with persistence, and we pray with confidence. We pray simply, and we just simply pray. My encouragement, hopefully, after all of that, was meant to be tonight, as we approach this new year, again, on my heart for my life personally, on my heart for our church family, is that we would get back to prayer. But don't automatically knee-jerk and think that that's a heavy thing. Maybe it just needs to be as simple as, Lord, Jason taught about prayer tonight. I don't really know how to pray. Teach me to pray. I want to learn how to pray. And maybe just start by getting alone and breathing that prayer out loud and meaning it. And then do it again and maybe like add some stuff and whatever's on your heart. And just learn how to talk to the Lord. There's time. There's something to be said for discipline and time and all of that. But for now, just start praying. Amen? Just start praying. And what you'll find is it's going to become your lifeline. Prayer is going to become not what you've got to do as a Christian, but what you get to do. Amen? And my desire is that my life would really be lived out of the overflow of my prayer life more than just me being busy or thinking that I've got to do this and me figuring life out. But my life personally, the life of this church, that we would be reacting to what God is directing us in through prayer. Amen? And that's when, man, it's effective and good. So, this year, pray. Pray simply, but simply pray. Some of you guys are really new believers. I look around the room. I know a lot of your stories, not all of them. Some of you guys are really new believers, and prayer maybe you're just like faking it, and that's cool, and you want people to think you know how to pray, and you really don't. Just go to God and say, I don't know how to pray. He'll teach you how to pray. Some of you guys have been Christians a long time. You probably should know how to pray by now, and you really don't, and I don't. That's okay. Come to God and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And let's just, may our prayer lives be revitalized. Amen? Pray simply and just simply pray. And let's do that tonight, you guys. It'd be kind of dumb, I think, to just talk about prayer and just not pray. So let's just spend some time in prayer. Amen? And I don't know, how should we do this? Here's the deal. If you got people around you know, or maybe you don't know, and you want to just kind of huddle up with a couple, 2, 3, 4 people, if that weirds you out and you're like, I ain't doing that, that's cool. Just, you know, bow your head and give the body language, like, don't ask me to be in your little prayer group. And they'll respect that. And then just pray right where you're at. But here's the deal. Don't zone out. Don't distract other people. If you don't want to pray, that's cool. But let other people do it if they want. And maybe, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to pray. Maybe some of you guys just need to pray that prayer. God, help me pray. Teach me to pray. Maybe just read that prayer. Maybe just kind of go through some praise and adoration and thanks and forgiveness and confession and things like that. But let's spend some time in prayer. You can move around if you need to, and we'll take like 5 minutes to pray. And then when we're done, we'll do a song and we'll go. So let's pray right now. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to pray and to talk to you at all, that we can have communication with you. And I'll be the first to admit, Father, I think prayer is something of a mystery. I mean, intuitively, I know I'm supposed to pray, but I so often struggle with how to. And I know for sure it's not your will for us to feel guilty and all this stuff because we don't pray this way and we don't pray long enough and blah, blah, blah. But I also know it's your will that we would pray. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to get back to what this is really all about. Communing with you. Talking to you. Bringing you into every area of our lives. And Lord, we want to learn how to pray better. I want to learn how to pray better. My brothers and sisters want to learn how to pray better. Would you teach us to pray, Lord? In 2013, teach us to pray, because I'm convinced not only will we see effective things happening in our lives, I really believe we're going to see more and more souls come to Jesus in Clatsop County, because you're going to teach us to pray. And it's really easy to make a list of all things we're going to do and just start getting busy in this new year, but I think we need to dial it back and just start by saying, Lord, teach us to commune with you better. In Jesus' name. One of the things that you can pray for right now is that maybe the 2 or 3 people that are on your mind that aren't walking with the Lord or have never met Jesus, maybe just lift up their names before the Lord and ask God to put Christians in their path and whatever he's going to do to get them to hear the gospel again. And I pray, Lord, that, Lord, I've already said it 100 times. I'm overstating it and praying it again. But I just pray that, man, we would really, really get back to that. Just our love relationship with you. Just spending time with you and getting rid of all the trips and all the guilt and all that junk and just learning how to talk to you again. Enjoying our time with you again. And I pray that this would be a momentous night for some people. Just a rush of wonderful simplicity to their mind, that you really just want to talk to them and want them to talk to you. And that you're faithful to hear us. You're faithful to answer us even when we don't understand. And Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.